Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858. Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
What a beautiful day it was for racing at Flemington yesterday, late autumn day. Sunshine was a bit easier to find than winners for most of us, but it was a beautiful day to be at Flemington. Some terrific racing, Group 1 racing in Adelaide at Morfordville, with the Doomben card being postponed till Wednesday. So still plenty to talk about, and great to have Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney part of this hour before Brendan takes over with Sunday Central. Firstly, good morning to you, Dino.
Good morning, Warren.
How'd you enjoy yesterday's races?
Well, with mixed emotions through the day, I've got to say. Yeah, there was some good moments, but blown out of the quaddy very quickly. And the Goodwood was a little bit of a hard watch watching a leader win it.
Yeah, that's something that I was going to touch on, and we don't want to make it too self-absorbed, but a horse like In the Boat in the Goodwood with form around Lombardo, how were you feeling yesterday?
Yeah, no, a little bit down after. It was okay until watching Lombardo beat Helvorsen, and they were both at sale on Good Friday. So, yeah, look, we'll have our day, but well done to Cathy Haynes and the connections with Lombardo. And to be fair, he's unbeaten at Morfordville, and he just bowls along there, and he's hard to run down.
We'll get through the Flemington card and then look at those features at Morfordville. Brendan Delaney, good morning to you.
Good morning, Warren.
How was your day at the races yesterday?
I wasn't fruitful of the punt, but it was an enjoyable day out there nonetheless. Some good competitive racing on the track, and enjoyed taking in all the racing from Adelaide. So, entertaining enough.
We got off the day off at Flemington to start with a race over a bit of ground, the Staying Trip, 2,500 metres, and Jai McNeil was in the Rupert Lee colours aboard Pesto.
Next in the field is Young Hostess, who continues to probe for runs up on the inside. But Eureka Street, 450 metres to go, up to Kaituku. Accountability battles on in the middle. Young Hostess runs up behind them. Tara Mansour up the middle. Reflect the Stars is next, and Pesto comes on two from Monreal. A few hopes here. 200 metres to go. Pesto moves up on the outside to take the lead. Reflect the Stars coming through, and then a wall of them. Pesto, 100 metres to go. Led. Reflect the Stars coming out after it. Pesto in front of Reflect the Stars, and Pesto will win. Pesto scores from Reflect the Stars, Monreal, photo fourth, Brawl.
Dino, how did you see his win yesterday?
I thought he was just, it was a good patient ride by Jai McNeil on Pesto, just brought him into the race as a bit of the last man standing sort of ride. And to be fair, I think his best runs have been when he's been ridden in that quiet manner, but it was just a leap of faith to suggest he was going to win another race. It was 1,073 days between wins, and we hadn't actually seen him win in Australia, but yesterday we did.
What did you make of the overall depth of the race?
It was a benchmark staying race, Warren, and we've seen a bit of the usual suspects in horses like Reflect the Stars and Accountability, and Monreal ran well, but another one that's on a hasn't won for a long time, Brawl off the Casterton Cup was okay, and I was tipping Algiers. I think if they had their time again, they'd have ridden him a little bit quieter, fourth or fifth in the run, and seen how he ended up. He over-raced badly and virtually eased out of the race from there.
Thoughts on the first, Brendan?
Yeah, I was in the corner with Dean, with Algiers. I thought he had a great chance going to that race, but his race was over by the time they had met the first turn. He was really fired up and lost the plot there. Pesto, good though, just a matter if he wanted to win another race. He did run second last time in Sydney, but he was well beaten in running second, and he got a cold ride from Jai McNeil. Didn't panic on him, waited till he got into the clear, and then let him go through his gears. If he wanted to do it, he more than had the ability to beat the lot yesterday. Reflect the Stars, I think, has run well. She's come back in good order. She'll follow this series through. Monreal was finding the line nicely on solid ground. I think maybe the back end of 2,500 on the backup saw Brawl out. I thought he was solid enough, though. And the rest just battled. Young Hostess, probably back end of 25 in this grade, didn't help her. She loomed back to the inside, and Kyle Tuku, he was one that was sent out in the market. He got pestered by Algiers, but I think he might struggle in this grade. But Pesto, if he wanted to do it, it was the race there for him to go on and win again.
general SMS, Peter, from Mitchum, Dino, just regarding programming and noticing that we're starting to see some benchmark 100s coming through on some Saturday programs. And he's asking, have these taken the place of open handicaps? And if so, why? Can you give us any insight into the benchmark 100s at this time of the year?
I think trainers were a little bit adverse to not having a standard for the open handicaps. And yes, it has. And they've become a bit of a long handicap because we've seen 53 minimums, which I think's good. It gives a standard to what our Saturday is in the off-season. And then benchmark 100 is a top weight is pretty hard to achieve sometimes. And in the open handicaps last winter, I was looking through some of them, they barely made the 90s. So, it gives you some standard of where they're at. So, yeah, I think that's why they've, so that the trainers would understand if they won the race, how much they get penalised as well.
Pesto taking out the first at Flemington yesterday. Jai McNeil got the day off to a good start. He was riding for Gerald Ryan and Sterling Alexio aboard Brosnan in the second.
400 metres to go. It's Lethal Thought striking the front with Brosnan out of the pocket now and running on hard. Brosnan up to Lethal Thoughts. Then Zoe's Promise on the outside, followed by Anfina. It's on the outside, Brosnan and Lethal Thoughts. Anfina gets out and chasing hard. 100 metres to go. Lethal Thoughts and Brosnan stride for stride. Brosnan just in front. The grey Anfina's coming. Brosnan. Brosnan wins it from Anfina, Lethal Thoughts.
Your take here, Brendan?
A race that didn't really change a lot. Two roughies up on the speed with Lethal Thoughts in between them, and that probably hasn't helped the chances of Lethal Thoughts. I think he just might have got racing a little bit too much with that pressure to inside and out. But Brosnan given a lovely ride from Jai McNeil. Jumped well behind the leader. Run came through. He went too strong at the end. If he was holding his form from his previous runs, it was going to be evident that he was going to be pretty hard to beat in this race. Anafina, three-back defence, followed the winner through, started off what was turned out an even better day for Andrew Botham. Lethal Thoughts made the case for him. Just that pressure probably didn't help him at the back end. Zoe's Promise has run out of its skin. Didn't show much in the first couple of times to the races, but ridden a little bit closer there yesterday. Really turned it around, and then really forgiving of those horses on the three wide line, Far From Discreet, Adret, and Mabuto. They just couldn't get into it when they were out back and wide, and couldn't really factor into the race. They've held their ground okay, and the race sort of changed at the start when they said with Luna Diva they were going to go back. I thought she might have been the one to lead them and roll along what we've seen of her previously from the wide gate. The lead was probably there for her. They went back. She picked off a few towards the back end in a race where you couldn't make ground, really. But he was the best horse in the race, Brosnan, and he got a peach of a ride from Jai.
Dino, I suppose we had that sample of him down here in the size, so lightly raced horses, and some of them no doubt on upward spirals, but he probably had the form line to justify the fact that he was a favourite yesterday.
Yeah, that's right, Warren, and back onto dry ground. It was the 7 weeks between runs was the concern, but interesting that he holds the nomination for the JJ Atkins, so was this the lead-up run for that? And, smart move maybe by Gerald and Sterling to get him on dry ground to have a good hit-out leading into the JJ Atkins, where a lot of the horses stranded in Queensland mightn't get that luxury. So, he did a good job to win, and he kept getting to the line. The first three beat the others well. There's a bit of a theme of especially the early races on the circle, that it was down to the inside and hard to make ground, but certainly one of the better horses was in the right spot, and he got the money.
How did you see the track playing yesterday?
I think that was how the theme of certainly the first part of the day went. The straight races, it was centred to outside as we saw through the program. But, I think certainly with Curl Royale and Welsh Legend ducking back to the inside, as we'll talk about, and Le Devant, Don DeVee ducking through, the inside played a fairly important factor in the day.
It's a good day for Andrew Bobbin, Anfina, who's lightly raced, and she'd have a habit of being slowly away in her one run and her jump outs to date. But if she was able to close in on Brosnan late, do you know? I don't think it'll take Andrew long to win some races with her now she's learning her craft.
No, you so very accurately pointed that out at the Warrnambool Carnival, Warren, that she had that habit of missing the start in her jump outs, and it carried through to race day. She began a lot better yesterday, so she's picking up what she needs to do. She had a lovely run. She followed through behind Brosnan. Lethal Thoughts was up in front of them, so the inside horses were certainly to the fore there, and, she's going to win her share of races.
Brendan, your take on how the track played yesterday?
It wasn't easy to make ground early, but I don't think the tempo were that strong through the early races that we've seen around the circle. A bit of outside what we sort of expect around this time of year down the straight course. But when you've got an even sort of grade of horses, it's not easy to give away ground and make looping runs off off moderate enough tempos where, you know, the horses in front aren't really taxed. So if you've got an even grade of horses and you've got horses giving away ground trying to make looping runs, it's always going to be hard for them to get into it.
SMS from Jimbo, regular contributor. Thank you, Jimbo. He's a fan of the Tarzinos, thinks they're tough horses. He wants the guy's thoughts on Natural Mystic, who was able to take out race three yesterday.
To Under the Whip Power of Song, Villa Den around it, then Bring the Stars, Flash Feeling getting through between horses, still seven off the leader, which is now Natural Mystic, who strides up to Secret Glamour at the 250, and they set two. Natural Mystic on the outside of Secret Glamour, three lengths Audrey Girl, Flash Feeling's out, but Natural Mystic at the clock tower takes Secret Glamour, Flash Feeling still with three lengths to make up. Natural Mystic at the 100 metres draws clear from Secret Glamour, then Flash Feeling and Natural Mystic. Natural Mystic won it from Secret Glamour, Flash Feeling, Villa Den.
He's got his career off to a good start, Dino. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
Yeah, he's a tough sort of horse. He gets you know, relatively close to the speed, and he battles on really honestly. And he can't do any more than he's done so far, and held off Secret Glamour, who has got a reasonable form line to her. She didn't really appreciate Sydney, whether the wet tracks or the right-handed way of going. And Flash Feeling, a winner last week at Flemington, so he's held them, and Villa Den's got some reasonable form running forth. So to beat that field at his second start, he's done a good job.
Jimbo's asking what you might do lining him up down the track. I think we heard from Michael Kent Jr. that he's going to progress on through this series. What are you making of the, as you said, there's some form lines that we can line up here. So he's probably progressive and could cope with that next step through this series.
Yeah, there's a great opportunity with this series to go through to the Mahogany Series final at 2,500 metres. And so he can go through that series. Probably not a spring horse, but then maybe comes back at summer and aims up at a race like the Bagot long term if he has a good winter and gets his rating up. So he's a nice enough horse, and the Tarzinos are going very, very well. Obviously, Jungle Magnate to the fore last week, but Gypsy Goddess might be the best staying filly around. She just has that much go right. So, I think the Tarzinos are really coming at the end of their three-year-old days in that crop, are starting to come to the fore.
What do you make of this race, Brendan, in particular the performance of the winner, giving Jimbo a handle on how you're rating Natural Mystic?
I was impressed with his fight at Pakenham, the way he really had to dig in, and if he could bring that to Flemington, it was always going to be, he was going to be in the mix, but it was just a question of if he was able to bounce off that maiden, 1,600 to 2,000 early on in his career, and he dealt with it beautifully there yesterday. He's a progressive horse that you would think is going to take a power of beating, continuing through this three-year-old staying series. He's tough, he's strong, and he was still working through the line there yesterday. So he's a horse that you'd want to be following for the rest of the winter. At Lee, Secret Glamour, one off early, shuffled down onto the rail when the speed was rolling a little bit, had a chance in behind. The winner was just a little bit too tough for a Flash Feeling. Got back, cold ride, similar to what we've seen last week over the shorter trip on the quick backup. Didn't quite have the dash, but you wouldn't be marking his card at 2,000 on that run yesterday. I thought he was solid enough. Billiton was a good enough closing effort. Sunday Best, Audrey's Girl, got into that striking spot from on the rails up behind them on the inside, but just couldn't quicken again when Natural Mystique and Secret Glamour went for home, who were up riding the pace. But he's a lovely horse. He's a big, strong boy, and you would think if he holds together, it won't be the last time we're talking about him on a Sunday morning, that's for sure.
John Sadler commented, Dino, pre-race, that Flash Feeling on the backup would be going to the paddock following this race, regardless of where he finished. That's confirmed in the stewards' report. So we won't be talking about Flash Feeling in the immediate future, but down the track, how do you assess him at 2,000 metres following yesterday's run?
Oh, well, he's on the backup at the end of a pretty deep prep, so maybe that's, I can't quite get a handle on him yet. He was made up very quick ground, 600 to the 200, 11.24, 11.65, and then he's gassed out late and run 12.65. Still the second best last 200 of the race, but he'd peaked on his run. So I think he's, you know, next preparation I'll find out if he's a run-on miler or he is a genuine 2,000-metre horse, but he might have gone there just with the circumstances against yesterday.
Brett Preble had a purple patch in the middle of the card yesterday. He was aboard Cur Royale as the lead into Star Patrol, and Cur Royale was able to ride the speed, kick away and win race four.
Straight, 450 metres to go, and Cur Royale quickened and skipped two lengths in front of Miss Ostentora Jean, then Glitter and Gold for Lassophile, back behind them Literary Magnate, and then My Yankee Girl, and well back Israelite Bay, Defining's Wide, winding up still with a bit to do. Cur Royale, 150 metres to go, is four lengths in front. Cur Royale giving nothing else a chance. My Yankee Girl for Lassophile, Literary Magnate all chasing, but Cur Royale eased down, an arrogant winner, scored by 3/4 of a length. The miners.
Yeah, 1.25 lengths in the end, the margin. The stablemate Thalassophile chasing her late. Brendan, how did you see the win of Cur Royale?
Yeah, impressive. Really flew the gates. And just listening to Brett Preble post-race, he didn't seem she was going as keen as it might have looked on the screen, because she definitely looked like she was revving along, but he was probably going a little bit faster, he said. But she was happy within herself and she was conserving enough energy to give a kick late, and she was really strong to the line and throttled down late. She might have been able to hold them off a little bit more. Matt mentioned it in his call post race. She pulled up that quickly, but she was starting to be restrained from about the 50, so she was already throttling down when the rest were still finding the line. Super performance up on the speed, but if she's going to progress again, you'd think she might want to just try and get those manners intact just a little bit more, just to rest up a little bit more. The Lassophile was the midfield on the fence, but did take those short ways home. My Yankee Girls hit the line well. Literary Magnate, 3D, thought stuck it out okay. Defining, well in the market. Gate probably didn't help her back and wide, and that wasn't sort of the place to be this time of the day. Torregine on speed, good winner at Warrnambool. Maybe just got a little too keeny behind them. Second day at the races. One that did catch the line, worked through the line, Hanardi, back to the inside. But through the last 50 and then through the line, I thought was doing enough for former import.
A couple of notes in the stewards report, Dean. Definings pulled up with a minor abrasion on the near hind pastern, and stewards will follow up with the stable. Jai McNeil aboard Israelite Bay could offer no explanation for what appeared to be a poor performance, and nothing from a veteran examination from Israelite Bay, who, to my eye, Dean, seemed to have every opportunity during the run, but we didn't quite see the same performance that we saw at her previous start.
Yeah, well, she was going that well that you could see Jai coming to the turn, playing the percentages, getting away from the, you know, the leading group and just about to peel out and launch. But, yeah, the way she was going, she could have stayed behind Cur Royale, because Cur Royale was going to just put lengths on her. And she was very disappointing. Israelite Bay didn't know what to make of that, and hopefully something comes to light there. But Cur Royale's a good filly, and she had the ability to use that draw. And beautifully rated by Preble, even though she did go a little bit keenly, he just brought the speed back gradually, and then a really sharp increase from the 6 to the 400. He went from running 12.04, 800 to the 600, to 11.19, 10.99, and then home in 12.07, he's down. But that sharp dash from the 600 to the 200 was very impressive and a really good win. I thought the run of Liberated Girl was the one. She ran fifth best last 200 of the meeting, getting home late. It was a good effort, and I think with that run under her belt and going to 1,600 through this series, she'll be winning pretty soon.
Yeah, she was one of the horses to take out of the meeting, to my eye. Your comment briefly on Liberated Girl, Brendan?
Liberated Girl, yeah, thought she was solid enough, tried to do the looping run, wasn't the place to be, and she's gone to the line nicely there with Defining, who you can get a bit of a benchmark on through Elation, so she can more than bounce off that run yesterday.
Clinton McDonald's inherited a very smart horse who's got a great affinity with the straight in Star Patrol. We saw him again yesterday in race five.
Followed by Crystal Bounce, Scissor Step and Trey Porty, Star Patrol. Preble gets busy now on the outside of Outback Action, and they're stride for stride with Star Patrol, getting about a neck in front of Outback Action, who won't go away. Star Patrol with Outback Action, 3/4 a length away. Star Patrol is forging on Trey Porty late, but Star Patrol too good up the straight again. Star Patrol a length and 3/4, Trey Porty and Outback Action.
times we were looking at yesterday, Dino, had the recorded time some 0.3 of a second or so outside the track record. What did you make of his performance?
Oh, brilliant again, and just getting better to the line. And as mentioned post-race yesterday, it's only a subtle difference, but he was 1,200 at his first two runs, back to 1,100 yesterday. And that's why I think the others stayed with him for a while. But he just keeps going, and he's just better for longer. And had it been another 100 metres, I don't know, wouldn't have been quite the margin of Anzac Day, but it would have been significant. And he's just a very good horse. You know, whether it's the Melbourne way of going, whether it's the straight, whether he's just enjoying Clinton McDonald's training, whatever it is, it's working brilliantly well. And he's just an exciting horse.
He trialled up with Lombardo and Extreme Warrior in a jump out between runs, and look, it's probably it's a question that really doesn't have an answer, Dino. But how do you think he would have performed if he was tested at the elite level and ran in the Goodwood yesterday?
It's very hard to know, Warren, as you say. But all I'll say is he would have won that trial easily if he'd been asked to. He was going better than the other two, and one didn't fire yesterday, but in the Goodwood. But he was terrific in that jump out, and he's just exciting. And I think Clinton's absolutely on the coin. I think 1400 metres. My one thing is, you know, would he get around Caulfield? Because most of our good 1,400-metre races are at Caulfield, whereas, you know, we don't have a feature group one at 1,400 at Flemington, which would be a lot more a gentler turn and kinder to him. But, he's a very, very good horse. And Trey Porty chased him really well, had trialled really well and ran really well, but and Outback Action tried to mix it with him. So I think they're in their own way, they've got plenty of races in them, but he just might be next level.
What'd you make of his win yesterday, Brendan?
He was pretty exciting, wasn't he? Up on the speed, and just when you thought, is he going to put them away? No sooner had you just got that in the back of your mind that he kicked into that extra gear, and that 11 back to 12 really shone through in the end, because he wasn't stopping on the line. Impressive. Almost as impressive as he was there at Flemington. Margin wasn't as great, but the time that they've posted suggested it was pretty handy. Not going to drop off Triporti, set back off that speed, nor Outback Action. He was really good at Mornington. He's just ran into one out of the box there yesterday. What was he, just off the track record, and the class record was 1.2.32. That was set back in March of 2020 on a firm two. So I know it went to a good three after that yesterday. 0.13 off the class record, which would have been set on a pretty firm deck. So that stood for, 22 years now. So it was some sort of performance, and it's going to be interesting to see where he measures up. We know he would have got pretty close in that jump out, suggests he might have been riding it in a Goodwood, but you'd maybe like to see him down some of the feature races in the spring down the straight 1,200.
With that performance first up of Triporti that you referenced, Dino, you'd probably mark him as a horse to follow. The unfortunate thing is he might end up in the series final, the Creswick series final, and be chasing Star Patrol again.
You think he would, Warren? Yes, exactly right. And, Outback Action's a nice horse. And I think Emily and David Brown have got Bifrost absolutely flying. There was only three that broke 12 seconds the last 200 metres, the first two and Bifrost. He's going really well, but he might go beyond 12 or 14. He might go further now and dodge these horses. But I thought his run was good also. But, it's exciting, and we've seen this series in recent years with Nature Strip winning through in 2018 and Front Page winning the Creswick final in 2020. It can be a springboard.
And Clinton McDonald with a plan, the Bobby Lewis, Gil Guy, and then depending how he copes with those runs, obviously loves the straight 1,200, but coping with those runs, potentially even on to the Group 1 Darley. So he's got a plan, and I suppose he's got the right horse to at least head down that path and see where it takes him, Dean.
Well, it's perfect. He's got the Bobby Lewis into the Gil Guy 3 weeks, and then he's got 4 weeks either to Derby Day, if he's not wanting to go quite the Group 1 yet and use the handicaps, or go to 5 weeks to the Darley. So he's got perfect options down the straight. He's really well catered for with a horse that loves the straight.
Exciting for Brett Prebble connections and for Clinton McDonald Star Patrol running slick time down the straight yesterday. Welsh legend needed a gap with a few hundred to go, and Craig Newitt was able to get her through.
with also Ostrada as they run past the 400 metres. So Five Kingdom, Mar and Pa, Our Gladiator and Ostrada out deeper on the track. Soule Nawaj, Welsh Legends trying to get a run, but hit a wall there. And also Dick Whittington over on the far side. Kissinger running on, and also Kulth. Welsh Legend drove through, took the lead, 100 metres to go. Welsh Legend drew away, and it's Welsh Legend clear. Welsh Legend's going to win it. Have a look at them swarm for second. Welsh Legend won it from a dead heat second between Kulth and Soule Nawaj.
Craig Newitt, one of the jockeys with a double at Flemington yesterday. Brendan, what did you make of the win of Welsh Legend?
Very good, fast speed, Cape of Good Hope. Had a bee in his bonnet maybe a little bit there yesterday. He went out to lead. I'm not sure they're expecting him to go that fast, but he did truck along and set it up for something to come from the back. And those horses that put in the looping runs from the back, Cool, Born a King, Kissinger, Estrada to an extent, all were making those looping runs where it wasn't easy yesterday. Welsh Legend did have to overcome that interference at the top of the straight, but she had plenty to give when the gaps did open for her. Firm ground maybe in her favour. She did run well fresh on the firm ground, and she's continue on with it third up. Good, solid effort. Maybe just being held up in that stride or two might have helped her run it out as well. Cool back, rolled into it like the winner, just battled that last little bit. Soule Nawaj, I thought, was there to challenge. Battled out okay. Born a King, I thought, was really good. Back out and wide. It wasn't easy to do that yesterday. Kissinger looked like he was the winner coming to the turn, but just ran with them. Five Kingdoms battled okay on the speed, and Estrada had a handy run behind them, was okay late. But Welsh Legend, she was the one that probably wanted a little bit more than the rest of them. They got there and had a look at each other, but once she overcame her difficulties, her turn of foot was just better than those that were chasing it.
Few things worth noting from the stewards report, Dean. With Cape of Good Hope, Logan McNeil was interviewed by the stewards, and he was instructed to ride the horse forward, but he said when he found the lead, he was unable to restrain the horse to slow it down. He raced keenly and, as a result, wasn't able to finish the race off. And that was pretty evident watching Cape of Good Hope rolling along at what was too fast a tempo. And Laura Lafferty's received one of two suspensions from the meeting yesterday, both whip-related. Jared Fly aboard Tuvalu getting the other one, but aboard El Gladiator, Laura Lafferty also incurring a suspension for whip use. Dino, anything else that you'd like to add from the race?
No, it was would have been very unlucky had she not got through the winner. But I think Born a King out wide was the horse that I'd be nearly following out of the meeting, because that was probably on the circle races, not where you wanted to be. And he did a very good job. He's now looking for further, and he's got form up to 2,400. So I think he is ready to win a race.
What about Cool Though? He was roped a dope into tipping him yesterday. What did you make of his performance?
Well, the thing about Kulth, he can get dour very quickly, and you just wondered, maybe since he had the throat surgery, maybe all that had changed around, but he just grounded out, and on the 7-day backup was probably, and a fast pace, probably accentuated that. So he just grinds away. So whether he needs now 3 weeks between runs and 2,000 metres, something like that, but yeah, he can get dour very quickly.
Welsh Legend dashing through, and albeit winning impressively, dashed away to put two lengths on them when Craig Newitt got her clear. Born a King, perhaps a horse to follow from the same stable as the winner, the Chris Waller stable from Dino, out of race six yesterday. The feature race from a stakes point of view, a listed race down the straight yesterday, the Hilton Nicholas Straight Six over 1,200 metres. Andrew Bobbin, Linda Meach combined with Ocean Beyond.
Behind a wall, Ocean Beyond can't get a run. Bam's on fire next, and then High Stranger. It's on the lead coming through to challenge Serious Suspect. Crestani, front pages lifting in the middle, followed by Curran at the 200 metres. Serious Suspect, Crestani, and on the lead together, and Ocean Beyond now right down the outside. Big finish coming up. Crestani grabbed by Ocean Beyond. Ocean Beyond will win it. Ocean Beyond from Crestani on the lead. Photo fourth, Bam's on.
Well, there was a bit happening in the straight, a few horses ducking and weaving. I've got an SMS regarding the performance of It's Our Time. It might be a little bit too soon for me to bring that up, I think. But let's talk about the race in general, Dino. How did you see it?
Well, Ocean Beyond ran well first up, and he was just the one that got the run at the right time, and it was all about timing, and he got it. It's Our Time didn't. Probably a lot of them were on the back of Front Page. Unfortunately, he gets a mention in the stewards report, Warren, from the vet notices.
Yeah, cardiac arrhythmia, unfortunately, for Front Page, and he shall not start the race. The stewards have received a satisfactory veterinary report, must include an ECG performed at rest and a cardiac auscultation performed 30 minutes after completing a satisfactory gallop. So there was some issues with his cardiac arrhythmia, so obviously that he's going to be checked out and monitored after a serious workout prior to racing again. Unfortunate for Connections, because Jeff Giray and the team would have just been so thrilled, Dean, to get him back to do what he did in the town plate and effective down the straight with Wetman and the Creswick. Just disappointing for Connections and punters that things didn't work out yesterday, but a forgive file, as Gator would say, for Front Page.
Yeah, and that can be just an imbalance. So he can bounce back very quickly from that, as we've seen. And, you know, to think that he had that and he got beaten 2.85 lengths, he's still run a respectable race. But Ocean Beyond, Chris Starney got the fly at the right time. I thought Bo Mertens used his turn of foot, and I was really pleased to see the blinkers off him yesterday. I just thought he might be in a lesser grade race, but he's run well at stakes level yesterday at the big odds on the lead. Edged across to the outside. Brett Preble was a good bit of riding to get out into the right part of the pack, as the last winner did. And Serious Suspect down the straight, loves the straight, ran well. There was a bunch of them. High Stranger ran well. Bam's on Fire, a nice return for the Mara Newster stable. And and it's our time, just got chopped out.
The succinctness of the stewards report probably doesn't outline the horror of watching our time. Bounded at the start, held up for clear running from the 450 until passing the 300 over the concluding stages. Raced in restricted room between Serious Suspect and On the Lead. Brendan, your thoughts on the straight six?
Good effort from Ocean Beyond, first of all. Lovely run behind, and Linda was really swinging off him at the 200 metres. He was the one that had the cover and was waiting to come out, and as soon as she got him out, he was good. Bounced off that first up run, Chris Darney. Sat there on the feed and tucked it out really well. Thought he was the one for a couple of strides on the lead. Good on speed, Serious Suspect, solid as always. Bam's on Fire, slow out. Just got held up at about the 300. Has done enough towards the inside. High Stranger, that's his usual performance. 16 starts he's had at Flemington now. Hasn't won a race there, but his biggest losing margin's 4.5 lengths. So he maintains his good Flemington form. Another one around 2 lengths. I think a good handful of them have been 2 lengths or less. Fluorescent Star was some sort of run. Buried back on the inside. Left marking time. Craig Hewitt switched to the outside fence after being nearly the closest horse to the inside. The case for it's our time, well, everyone's seen it. I think even if you were listening to it, you would have got some sort of grasp at how much of a run it was. Stopped on a couple of occasions. And Front Page, at least there's an excuse there of why he didn't fire yesterday. I'm sure we would have been left scratching our heads. Not great for Connections that there's an issue there, but at least there was an issue and it wasn't just a bad run. Ocean Beyond good, but it's our time, and to an extent Fluorescent Star with some real cracking runs in behind.
Talk a bit about Andrew Bobbin, Dino. A lot's been made of his deep sand and the Grampians Racing setup that he's got. He had a winner at Warwicknabeal yesterday, and Fina was able to run well behind Brosnan and Ocean Beyond. So he's really starting to, I think, find his feet. And probably importantly, rather than getting tried horses and patching them up, he's now starting to be able to build some of his stable from the ground up, Dean.
Bought last year and he's been, they've bought again well this year. They've bought plenty of horses at Grampians Racing, and the tried horses are doing the job for them, and he's doing a very good job, Andrew. And yeah, I met him first through when he was foreman at Matt Kumani's, and he's had a very solid grounding. And I think what they've got there at Grampians Racing with the deep sand, something different. I mean, the trainers have all got a call on something, whether it be beach work or something. This is totally different. They've got a swimming facility there, but they've got the deep sand, and it works well. It puts a really good base of fitness and foundation on horses, and I think that gets them running well and performing, you know, for extended periods of time too.
Significant day for Andrew with that win at Flemington at stakes level for Ocean Beyond yesterday. Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace had Ladon DeVee first up. Short price favourite was Tuvalu in race 8.
into the straight. 450 metres to go, and it's Imperial Lad has kept them running. Here's Tuvalu on the outside, though, presenting, and is just about to run on by. Imperial Lad just had a little bit of a kick in the locker. Tuvalu got a neck in front. Sosi Bond got a run up on the inside. Then came Pro Consent, and also Don't Doubt Dory. Tuvalu at the 150 lead, but they're coming. Ladonna V's getting out. Tuvalu curling up. Ladonna V over the top. Tuvalu and Ladonna V are going to hit it together, and Ladonna V beat Tuvalu. Third, Don't Doubt Dory, and fourth, Pro.
Jared Fry copying a fine and a suspension for overuse of the whip on Tuvalu. I think the punters that had backed him into odds on were just willing Tuvalu over the line. They wouldn't begrudge Jared doing what he could, Brendan, to try and get him over the line, but he couldn't hold off Ladonna V.
No, I think Jared knew that the fuel tank wasn't quite up the top end of the scale. And, well, he stays straight, Tuvalu, he wins the race. Simple as that. He got wandering late when he was getting tired, looking for the rail, and he just paved the way for Ladonna V to come through the middle. Ladonna V back, cold ride. You know he's going to be strong, but just a matter of, at 1600, just a matter of whether or not this early on in his preparation he was going to be able to do it. And he got a nice tempo to come off the back of there yesterday. Tuvalu, maybe that little bit of work that he did at the top end of the race didn't hold him in great stead late. But as Dino touched on yesterday, not in the same form as the run. I know he had that little issue behind Gentleman Roy, but not in the same vein of form as he was when he raced on Thunderstruck going back to this time last year. Don't Doubt Dory back to 1600 suited much better than stretching to 2000, was still able to tough it out really well. Pro Consent was a really good run, produced like it was the winner, second up from a break after a solid run at Warrnambool, just peaked out late. You can see him really bouncing off that run and being ultra competitive next time. Skyman, a usual effort. Warrior, he falls, tried to put in that looping run, wasn't the place to be. And also, Sivan thought he was a bit disappointing there yesterday when the gaps opened for him back towards the inside. It's a good training performance from Kiramar, Dave Eustace. They seem to be able to do it all, and a good effort to produce this horse first up to win.
Your thoughts on this race, Dane?
Yeah, I think Brendan summed it up pretty comprehensively there. Ladonna V, I mean, you could see at the 300 he was going to be in the finish if he could get a clear run. And he was obviously well prepared up, and we've lauded the stable for a long time, putting these long, steady foundations on them as well. And he really relished that. But the story is Tuvalu. He's just not in the form that he was. Now, he's running second at Flemington twice to Gentleman Roy and Ladonna V, and in between he's won at Warrnambool. So if you look at his form, you see 2-1-2. He's just not a patch of the horse he was 12 months ago. If Lindsay Smith can get him right, there's still exciting times ahead, but there's something just, you know, causing him not to quite hit the mark at the moment. Simple as that. He ran, honestly, he tried very hard, but I think his stablemate is the Winter Championship horse, Pro Consent. The ownership group won it with Reykjavik a few years ago, and I think Pro Consent's ticking over beautifully. He's the one that I'd probably be following out of the race.
I know you're not involved in the ownership of Tuvalu, but with that condition that he's experiencing and the vitamin D, I think that they have to try and provide for him and other things of managing. Do you have any experience with that type of condition in a horse, Dean?
No, I've never heard of it at all. And, it's certainly, there's always something new and that you learn about horses. You never stop learning. And, yeah, when I heard about that, that was a fresh one on me. But he's, they're obviously working through it. You know, the horse presents, you know, you saw him yesterday. To my eye, he presented in good, healthy order, Warren.
Yeah, he's very fit, particularly for a horse second up. He wasn't carrying a lot of excess condition. You couldn't knock him the way he presented in the yard yesterday, but perhaps internally that just is inhibiting some way that condition that is being managed. But as you said, Dean, we're just not quite seeing what we've seen from Tuvalu previously.
Yeah, exactly. And the next few runs, the next phase of his career is important to probably get right, because he's just about to turn five, so you don't want to miss his best days. I think his stablemate went well. The Waller pair went well. Skyman, where he falls. Vitruvius ran well. He was 8.5 kilos out of the handicap. That probably showed yesterday, being a when we were talking about it earlier, a benchmark 100. He's eligible for a lot easier, and he can still win at his next start if he goes to something easier.
down the straight for the last and a big field, but the market honed in on Zach DeBos during the course of the day. The challenge might have been for Matty Cartwright to find the right part of the track from the inside draw.
Link Sam's Image, Hypersonic, Red Hot Nick down the outside from Casadia, and they were followed by down the outside Circularity with five to pick up as Zach DeBos went for home at the clock tower. 200 metres to go, Zach DeBos, two lengths, Red Hot Nick, Casadia, Sam's Image, Circularity, and then came McKeever and Mask Up. Zach DeBos, 100 metres to go in front of Red Hot Nick. Zach DeBos is holding on. Zach DeBos has won the last, followed in second place by Red Hot Nick, and then we've got a photo.
Dino, I thought that was just an outstanding ride from Matty Cartwright from that inside draw. How did you see the last?
Yep, as good a ride as there was on the program, and that was my little knock on Zach DeBos, whether he'd get to the right part of the track and be able to do that at 1100, because he sort of, early doors looked like he was going to be a miler, and then he had the throat issue, and he was 1300, then 12, now he's back to 1100, and then getting a super ride. He made the best of that situation and did it, you know, with great purpose. Matt Cartwright got to the as good a ground as he could get to, and won. Red Hot Nick was drawn out there. Jamie Mott gave him the chance to win. He ran well. Mask Up's a really nice horse, beaten for the first time, but ran a good race. And I was a little bit keen on Mississippi. Her race was shot at the start. She began awkwardly and just out of position from then on. But, I'd probably say nearly ride of the day by Matty Cartwright.
Yeah, I'm in sync there, and began awkwardly, is noted from Mississippi in the Stewards Report. How did you see the last, Brendan?
Yeah, good positive ride from Matty Cartwright. Knew where he wanted to be, and good effort up on speed from Zach DeBos. Red Hot Nick rode the speed as well, toughed it out pretty well. Mask Up, he wasn't the quickest to begin, got a long way back, but his work late was strong. Yulong Storm was a nice run from him back to the inside. McKeever was okay. Quesadilla rode the speed, battled okay. And Dean's touched on Mississippi. That check after the start didn't help her, and Hypersonic just got way too keen and dropped out badly in the end. But nice proactive ride there from Zach DeBos. I did mention post-race yesterday, Yulong Storm might be one for the Topaz. Dino, you said it might be a strong Topaz. There wasn't a horse scratched in Adelaide yesterday, might be heading there.
Who was scratched yesterday?
In the boat. Is he rating too high to go?
No, he's not. No, he's in the paddock. No, but his stablemate, Triple Missile's going there.
We'll keep that one under the hat.
And a forgive for Hypersonic there, Brendan, your reference dropping out, but blood both nostrils, Hypersonic identified post-race, so not permitted to start, be trained or exercise, galloped on any race course for a period of 2 months, and then has to go through that satisfactory gallop in the presence of stewards prior to getting back to the races. So a forgive for Hypersonic, and I suppose we'll talk about the Adelaide Carnival shortly, Dino, but probably a real transition time for the McAvoy stable, having to close down that operation at in the Barossa Valley and now based fully out of Ballarat. So certainly the end of an era in South Australian racing with the Hayes stable and McAvoy's being involved in that property for so long.
Yeah, and it's been something they've kept going right through, Warren. Like when Tony first branched out, you remember he was at Hawkesbury for a while, and then he got the boxes at Flemington. But it was always Kildalton Park at the old Lindsay Park, so he knew the tracks there. And then, of course, Ballarat and were running side by side, and now it's just Ballarat. So, yeah, it's a part of history of Adelaide racing and Australian racing, because it was the absolute showpiece of Australian racing farms when CS had it up and running at its absolute best.
Prize money throughout the year outside carnival time probably wouldn't justify it, but Mick Price and Michael Kin Jr. love Adelaide so much. I thought if the prize money was extended right through the year, they might even buy it. They love it over there.
Well, they can afford it. The last four weeks they've had, it's been just remarkable the way they've lined horses up, and they've just got the money.
Plenty to talk about with that meeting at Morfordville, the Group 1 Goodwood, the feature yesterday. We'll turn our attention there after this break.
Then Bella Nipotina, Sava 2XL, free of deck, gets to the outside. General Bow starting to wind up from back, and so too Behemoth. The leader, Lombardo, Bella Nipotina, Behemoth warming up. The Astrologist, then further back to Not an Option. Lombardo kept going in the Goodwood from Hal Vorsen and Frankie Pino. Lombardo, he's unbeatable here at Morfordville. 5 out of 5, and he takes the Group 1. Hal Vorsen...
stable having an incredible run. Zach Spain over there for the one ride. Made it worth his while, Dino. How did you see the Goodwood?
Yeah, well, he rated the horse really well. Thanks to Daily Sectional Times, I do have the breakdown of that race. And he went the first 400 about two lengths above standard, but then brought it along from the 800 to the 400 at a good speed, where he got to run the race on his own terms. The last 200, he'd peaked on his run. He didn't break 12 seconds the last, or he ran 12.06 the last 200. But he was there to hold them off. Helvorsen was home very sharply and ran really well. He's a two-time Group 1 place in his last three starts, so he's going well. The Astrologist racing so well. He was given the absolute perfect ride by Fred Kersley. He had the absolute sweet run to win, and he just grounded out. And Frankie Pino was the real eye-catcher, home in 11.68 and backing up that really good run in the Wongoon, but probably just looking for 1,400 metres now.
SMS from Deb, regular contributor. Thanks for listening and thanks for contributing, Deb. Taking nothing away from the winner, but how good were Helvorsen and Frankie Pino coming from last on the turn, only to be beaten two lengths. Deb was very thrilled with the performances, Dino, but I think she would have preferred Frankie to be able to work his way into third position on an each-way basis rather than fourth.
Yeah, well, it's always self-interest, isn't it? I was very happy the Astrologist fell into third. So, head-to-head there with Deb. But, he ran really well, Frankie Pino. Not an option, ran really well, backing up that bit of a surprise win in the Hariba. Behemoth was just okay to the line. I thought he was in a spot where he could really finish off. Horse that wasn't suited by the tempo, because I just don't think he's sharp enough, but Ironclad was okay late in that race as well, and I wouldn't be surprised maybe if we see him towards the Winter Championship.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Super effort on speed by Lombardo. He had Bo Rosser there with him the whole way and dropped in quickly. Traditionally a race where you're looking for the swoopers, but you look back down to the inside and Lombardo was still going there on the speed. He was a good solid effort up there and well rated by Zach Spain. Ballon if it's seen a loomed as if she was going to be the winner and just peaked out late. Frankie Pino really solid up the fence along with Helvorsen. They're both run really well to pick up some good money there. Regards Marie, I thought was okay. Not an option. The good chase. Extreme Warrior just didn't look comfortable on the turn, and that was the end of his race. Behemoth was okay and free of debt. Had some rain flapping around all over the place halfway down the straight there, which probably didn't help his chances. And the Astrologist, really solid, had the right runners being touched on, and he just continues to run well whenever he's sent out. But well done to Zach Spain. He got it right with Lombardo up on the speed.
Mark and Levi Cavanagh have really hit the mark when they've taken Ceredes back to Adelaide. More black type yesterday in the Proud Miss.
Swing for home. Ceredes says, catch me if you can. Opens up now. Two lengths on Gimme Par. Miss Albania looks done. Then Bless Her, another award. They've got to get to Ceredes. She's opened up five lengths on second Gimme Par. Bless Her, then another award. And battling on, I Am Bene through for a place. But it's all Ceredes from start to finish. Ceredes by three. I Am Bene.
Yeah, she's just dominating from on speed in the last couple of starts over there, Brendan.
It certainly has, and she's been rated nicely by Craig Williams on both times, and she just really gives nothing else a chance to beat her. Gimme Par was a battling second. Didn't mind the return of Poise Serene closing off after drawing wide, but for the second time in as many runs, Craig Williams just grabbed the race by the scruff of the neck and controlled it.
How'd you see her win, Dean?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a different race structure. Last start, he backed off the speed and then really quickened up. Yesterday, he just kept building, and she just ran them into the ground. It was a terrific win. Iron Bene obviously closed off quite well. Interesting that Miss Albania did look unlucky in that lead-up to the Goodwood a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, out in clear air, just didn't quite fire, and there were horses out wide that... As the day wore on, the jockeys kept reporting it got more and more leaderish to track, and I think there'd be a few forgives out wide, the likes of Luna Cat and Smoke and Val and even Spinning to a lesser degree, but they were probably just not in the right spot.
Big part of the Price and Kent's success in Adelaide in recent weeks has been Mark Zara. He was aboard the Amazonian in the Phillies Classic over 2,500.
Douceur, Lady Chant, and then came as they sprint for home, Great Mystery, and Denali on the rail, but it's the Amazonian with 150 to run, clear from Lady Chant, battling on Great Mystery and Denali, but the Amazonian is going to bolt up for Zara and takes the SA Fillies Classic by 3.5 to Lady Chant.
She turned into the straight, Dino. She looked to be absolutely bolting in behind them, and she was able to carry that through to add some valuable black type to her pedigree.
She certainly did, Warren. She was just absolutely smoking in the run. You could tell I was on Douceur, and she was sort of getting into the race and getting every chance to run well, but the Amazonian was just travelling so well behind them, and she won with great authority, nearly four lengths, and she was the filly, of course, that won the much maligned three-year-old Cranbourne Classic on Cranbourne Cup Day that was called a picnic race. Well, she's now won a Group 3, so that mightn't have been that bad a race after all. Lady Chant ran honestly, Great Mystery, the map, they're all in a group there. Douceur, just probably things haven't gone right this preparation, and it told yesterday because she should have probably kicked on better than that, but all honours with the winner. She was way too good.
How do you view that contest, Brendan?
Yeah, Amazonian just had the drop on Douceur. Douceur left in front a long way from home when Tavi Steele called it a day, and she was just left a sitting shot for the Amazonian in the end. Probably could have finished off a little bit better, but the Amazonian was just full of running after having the good run from Zara behind. Lady Chan, I thought, ran another super race back down there near the inside. You couldn't miss the map flashing. Later, I thought Morissette gave a good account of herself. She was solid enough. Denali, making a big step out of maiden grade, I thought, ran well as well. But the Amazonian just had the right run and got the right card at the right time coming to the turn on the back of Douceur to really put them away.
See You in Heaven went around an odds-on favourite in the David Coles Stakes, but the Price and Kent Stable always had faith in Maximilius. He delivered yesterday.
They swing in. Maximilius left the rail. There's room for See You in Heaven to dart through. H2O wider out, then Prairie Flower. As time goes by, it's Maximilius in front. See You in Heaven's got a lift. Still got to find a half a length. Then H2O. Maximilius kept going. See You in Heaven's driving through. See You in Heaven going to Maximilius. Maximilius and See You in Heaven, they've hit it locked together. Very little in it.
Well, an incredible pedigree, this horse, Brendan, and breeder Robert Crabtree, pretty excited post-race, pledging his love for Mick Price. I think he's thinking what might lie ahead for Maximilius.
Yeah, super effort up on the speed. Favourite on his back, had every chance to go past him, and she just couldn't. Left the rail and had the path to See You in Heaven, but every time he had to give a little bit more, he did. He was really tough to the line. Maximilius, super effort. On speed, See You in Heaven, every chance behind to the inside. H2O battled okay after riding the speed. I thought Prairie Fire stuck it out okay, but he's a smart horse. That first ball really did get away from the rest of the field. Good horse, considering See You in Heaven. She's been really lethal through this preparation in Adelaide. So to get a mark on her is a good effort.
Stable have always had an opinion of him, Dino, and he's probably still learning his craft to some extent, but nice for connections to be able to win that group race on his way to hopefully some better races.
Yeah, indeed, Warren. He raced a lot more tractably and I think kinder without the blinkers yesterday, paced himself well. See You in Heaven was brave. The stablemate H2O was good. There was a massive betting move here for As Time Goes By. I think it was as much as $13, $14 in the morning. Ran $5 first start for the Anthony and Sam Friedman yard. Just a leggy type by Deep Impact out of A Time for Julia, and got off the bit early and just looked a little bit lost. Actually, on the line was okay, but just when the race was there to be won, just didn't really know how to do it yet. Wouldn't be dropping off there because the money was so significant in a pretty solid race that it must be showing ability.
Belplacer, Foxy Frieda with some stakes wins in Adelaide, and the Lord Mayor's Cup went to Hopeful in Sydney, a stakes race up there. Annabelle Neeshan preparing the winner. Time for the boys' runs of the day. Horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
I'll let you kick it off, Dino.
Star Patrol's the run of the day for me, Warren. He's just a Group 1 horse in waiting, I think, and we're watching him go through the grades in fine style in near winter, and Born a King out of race 6. He's 2,000 metres plus now, and he's close to a win.
Feature jumps racing at Sandown today. Also a meeting at Wangaratta. Anything we should be keeping an eye on?
Sandown, I thought the best bet was Princess Reynes, race 3, number 2. And I like one in the last, a bit of value, Our Lone Star. I thought it was ridden too close to the speed last start. I'm just hoping for a quieter ride, and I think he's over the odds. Race 9, number 3, Our Lone Star.
Great work as always, Dino. Look forward to your contributions right throughout the week.
Thank you, Warren.